Stacy.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you'd join me in Mark chapter 1. And while you're finding Mark chapter 1, just as a means of kind of going to introduce what I'm going to be trying to talk about tonight. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I remember growing up on a farm. My mom ran a little store that was there, and a little cafe, and there was a hardware store, and there was even a schoolhouse over this way. There used to be some stuff there. If you drive through there now, there's nothing there, no sign that says it. It's a destroyed little building. You see where my mom worked.
There we go.
But anyway, yeah, that little building is there. But when I was growing up, about 6 or 7, We had an old black and white TV. Man, can you imagine how old I'm getting? Showing how old I'm. There's TV in our house, and we had this antenna that went up miles across up in the air, just huge old thing. And all that thing would get was CBS and NBC, and maybe two other little channels. That was it. All that big old thing got. Well, my sister, she at school, she was selling some stuff, and the prize if you sold the most stuff was going to be this color TV. And it was going to get what was called UHF channels. Well, that was going to be 28, ABC, 34, and all that. And it had the cool shows on it. It really did. I remember we won that TV. My mom helped us out. Well, we got that TV. And we'd get around that little TV. And it was a color TV, too. But we'd get around that TV, and we'd watch shows like Lost in Space. And then one of my favorite shows, it's going to tie in what we're going to talk about tonight and stuff. It was a show called The Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four. I loved it. It was a superhero type show. These guys in space, they went up, and for an accident that happened in the space trip that they'd done, they got this gamma ray, I think it was called, whatever it was. But it turned one guy into this super strong rock looking creature called the Thing. Super strength. And turned one guy, it made him be like a human torch. He could just fly across, and he was like a flaming torch. And then a lady in the group, she could turn invisible. She could make a force field appear. And then the kind of leader of the group was this guy that his body was made all rubbery, and he was just like a stretcho man. But it was the four of them. And they got back, and they made a team called the Fantastic Four. And I want to title a lesson that I called The Fantastic Four. And I want to show you, I hope to show you tonight, two things about a fantastic, this thought about a Fantastic Four from this book of Mark here. Mark chapter 2 is really going to be what we're going to look at for 5 verses, but I want to set up what's happened here before what we're going to read in chapter 2. So go with me to verse 32 in Mark chapter 1. And when it says the word he and all that, it's going to be talking about Jesus. He's beginning his earthly ministry. And it says, at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and all them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And if you go to verse 40, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him and forthwith sent him away. And said unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest and the officers for thy cleansing of the things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in a desert place, and they came to him from every quarter. So right before we read in chapter 2, we see what's happening there. Jesus is just beginning his real earthly ministry. And he's doing healing the people, diseases, and the casting out the devils. And it talks about the leper there. But his fame is just, man, it's exploding, isn't it? And it says they wanted to come to him from every quarter. I want to center in on something that happens here in chapter 2. It's right here in verse 1. It says, "And again he," that's Jesus, "entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And there came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." So right there, I'm sure that there's this man sick of a palsy, it says, and it tells us that there's these four people. We don't know. The Bible don't tell us much about them. Okay, I know we don't know if they were friends or if they were family, if it was girls and guys. We don't know that much about them, but we know there was four. There was four that had got this man that was sick in the bed, sick of the palsy, and they're bringing him to Jesus. Okay, they're wanting to get. They cared about him, and they wanted to get him to Jesus. And as they get him there, we're seeing that the house is so full that you can't get into the house, and all around the house, everything's been noised about Jesus being there. So they can't get in. But I want to take these four tonight. I want to give them the title in my mind of the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four. And I want to show you something that I think the Bible gives us a little clue about them. It don't tell us great details about them, but what we're about to read here, the next verse, and I think it gives us something that we can get some a little bit more information about these four, okay? It says in verse number 4, it says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." And then look at this here. It says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I think it's interesting here that it says he saw their faith. He saw the faith of the four. The four that are trying to bring this sick man to see Jesus. He says he saw their faith. Now that kind of tells me, can indicate to me, I've read this in the commentaries, I've heard it said, and like I say, we don't know, that we can't be dogmatic. I hear Brother David say, "I can't be dogmatic about this," or something. But these four, by the faith that Jesus is seeing, it could have been that they were some of the very ones that have already been touched by Jesus. In the earlier chapter, the ones he says he cleansed of the diseases, maybe that leper that said, "Lord, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you know, I've come out, be clean," and he's cleansed. It could have been one of those very ones that had felt the touch of Jesus and felt that, you know, Jesus healing hand, that now then they're taking what that Jesus has done to them, and they're saying, "Hey, that's what this man needs. He needs Jesus." You see, they have more than just a curiosity. Wouldn't you agree with me? It's not just that they're curious about this man, Jesus. They're not wanting to get to this man just because they're curious. I mean, they tear off a roof. They can't get to the door, so they climb on top of the roof and they open it up, you know. They're not just curious. They're not just there trying to see what about a crowd. I believe that there's some evidence there to say that they had had a meeting with Jesus. They had felt that they had had a meeting with Jesus, okay? And now they're wanting to get this person to Jesus. So here's what I want to say first of all about Fantastic Four. I think every one of us in our life, and probably, I know I have. I don't see how you may be different. We have Fantastic Four people in our life. Amen. There's people in our life that brought us to a feeling of knowing we needed to know Jesus. You know what? Somebody in our lives. Hopefully sometimes it's moms and dads, of course, and maybe a preacher, but whoever. I know, like for me, it was my grandmother, my mom, and I'm using the term Fantastic Four, but it can be one or it can be many, because in my case, it was a youth group, a small youth group of about 12 teenagers. Fairview Baptist Church, right out by Sundown, Texas. Fairview Baptist Church out there and stuff. this youth group had just came back from a mission trip to Mexico. They had just came back from being on the trip from Mexico and stuff. And they had a big part. They played a big role in me, you know, realizing, hey, I needed to open my heart up to Jesus. I was a 20-year-old mess. I know it's hard. I mean, I don't know if I never had no hair up here, but I had hair stringing down my side, down, coming down back like this. I had hair shooting down my back, that stuff there. And I was a mess. About every other word out of my mouth would have to be a bad word. I was a mess of a character. Very introverted, very shy. And this youth group, I'd already, through my mom and my grandmother's experience, I'd been to church all my life. And my experience was, when I was about the time I was 7 or 8 years old, I saw my sister. She went forward, and she was 2 years older than me, and at the little church, she had gotten to ask Jesus into her heart, and everybody was so excited and praising her for her decision. And I remember as a kid thinking, hey, I want that attention. You know, and so I went up and I said, hey, I knew all the stuff. I'd been going all the, I knew what I needed to say, and I prayed a prayer, but I did it for the attention of one. I didn't do it for realizing that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus in my heart to keep, you know, for what I deserved would be not heaven ever, be hell. I didn't realize that then. And then I was in the eighth grade going to Brownfield. And back then, they could still bring Bibles to school and all this kind of stuff could still happen. And there was this guy that spoke at a general assembly that he had shot every vein in his body with heroin and drugs, and he looked pathetic. He had to be on a machine, and he had a big black Bible, and he was talking to all of us, and he was saying to us, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to wind up just like me. And I remember thinking, I don't want to wind up like him. You know, he's a mess. And all of a sudden, about 300 of us gathered around this guy, and he led us in a prayer. He told us, pray this prayer. I prayed that prayer. But once again, I didn't have no clue of the meaning of what it really meant about knowing Jesus, you know. And then I thought, well, I know I can't get this right. But I was about 20 years old, and like I said, this youth group, they invited me to come to the church service they was having. It was right before Easter thing at that Fairview Baptist Church that had got me together there. And I remember the youth group was sitting, I was in the middle, and they were on every side of me, right? And all of a sudden, that preacher that night was preaching. I remember I felt like my heart was going to break. Like he was talking just to me. Like I knew that at that moment, I knew that if I went out in eternity, I would not go to heaven. You know, I knew it. And I remember the invitation started, and I'm holding on to that pew. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise around me. I look kind of around. The entire youth group that's around me leaves the seat and goes to the front. I'm left by myself. I'm sitting in the middle of the pew like this, and everybody, shoo, shoo. I thought, what? I found out later they got up because they wanted to pray for me. They were concerned about me. And the next day, I didn't even remember going up. I just remember weeping and crying at the altar, and a preacher coming up, Stacy, can I pray? What's wrong? I went forward, and I said, I don't know. I can't get this thing right. I've messed it up too many times. I can't get it right. And he said, oh, Stacy. And I remember that night, I had to open my heart up to Jesus and never doubt a moment since then, you know. That youth group, my Fantastic Four, you know, they played around to be my Fantastic Four. What about you? Isn't there a Fantastic Four in your life? Somebody back then that said, boy, they knew that they just played that testimony, that role of saying about what Jesus needed to be in your life, you know. We all have it. We all have these Fantastic Fours. Like I said, this Bible says, I don't get to know that much about these guys or the women or girls or men. I mean, these ones, but I do know they had the faith that Jesus saw, and it affected that man sick of the palsy, didn't it? So, think about the Fantastic Fours in your life. If you're lucky enough and you're still on this side of glory, if they're still here, you know, you ought to be thankful to them, huh? You ought to be able to thank them and that they played the role in your life to get you to Jesus, huh? Maybe they're in heaven, like my mom. Maybe they're in that side of glory. We can pray and thank the Lord for them, you know, for what they did. But there's something else about the Fantastic Four. Not only do we have Fantastic Four people in our life, but we need to be a Fantastic Four person. We really do. We need to be, our testimony needs to be reflecting the love of Jesus and the love of our Savior so much that we're like a Fantastic Four to someone else. When someone else sees us, they think, they help introduce me to Jesus. They help me realize my need for Jesus. We need to be a Fantastic Four person, you know? Last Sunday night, Brother Tanner Walton was preaching for us. He grew up, we know he grew up in this church, and he was giving his testimony. And he said that back in the youth department, back in there, he said, Tink, show me from the Bible how to be Lord. I mean, how to have Jesus come to my heart, is what he said. And I asked my wife, Deborah, who's this Tink? Who in the heck is Tink? You know, I know what I know, who's Tink? And then she said, well, Miss Tricia. I said, oh, Tricia's Tink. I didn't know Trish was Tink, you know, but you know, that Tanner was saying she's a Fantastic Four person in his life. She, you know, Jesus did the saving, and he's the only one that will. I mean, praise God, it is just him, no one else. We'd mess it up. I know, I don't know. It's only him. He does the saving. He keeps it saved. It's Jesus. But he uses people like us, uses us to be like these people that bore this sick man of the palsy, these four. And I call them the Fantastic Four because, like I say, I love that car. I love that show or whatever it's like, these four. But I want to be a Fantastic Four person, you know? And if you're a Sunday school teacher and we got our van buses we run, we have many Fantastic Four people here, I know. I mean, we really do. There's many people whose lives, when they give testimonies back, they can say, hey, I know Jesus better because of my Sunday school class here, or because of my band brother here, you know? Isn't that an awesome thing to be a Fantastic Four person? That's what I think is being described to me here. We know verse 11, so we don't leave this guy sick of the palsy. I want him getting up here. Verse 11 says, Jesus told him, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You know, when I read that, I just think that the fantastic, those four that brought this man to Jesus. And the same thing in my life, I'm thankful for the ones that brought me to Jesus, you know, for like I say, my mom, my grandma, and that. I don't know in their names. I hadn't kept up in touch with them. I don't know, but I know that special group, that special group that had a heart about saying, hey, you know, this guy and these people, they need Jesus. And that's the kind of person that I say thank you to them, and that's the kind of person I want to be. And I challenge you tonight. Be thankful for your Fantastic Four, huh? Be thankful for whoever that could be in your life. And then just dedicate your heart to say, I want to be a Fantastic Four. And just to many. It don't have to be, of course, to just one or two. To multiple, minis, showing people about Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Stacy. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Don't forget, services on Sunday. We're going to have a special treat. Brother Seth Seal will be here preaching for us Sunday morning. And Brother Dwayne will be preaching Sunday night for us next Sunday. And so you be in your spot. And then make plans, if at all possible. Be here on Monday at 10:30 for Reese's funeral. Is she one of the last charter members? Was she a charter member of our church? Do you know? So we only have a few charter members left, and Reese is one of those. And so, like I say, if at all possible, Monday at 10:30, be in your place. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer tonight. Brother Dwayne, I didn't see you back there. I want you to pray.